What's up, Dialed fam? Happy Wednesday and welcome to the Strength Training for Cyclists podcast by Dialed Health. My name is Derek Teal. I'm the owner and operator of Dialed Health, and I'm really stoked to be recording this podcast today. Seriously, I don't know quite what it is. Maybe I'm feeling like a social butterfly and I just want to talk, but I really think it's because these topics and questions resonate so true with me today. Here's why. The first one is about late night snacking damage control. I mean, if there is one area that I have experience in, it's this right here, if anything. I have gone to the pantry or the fridge and opened it late night when I know full and well I'm not hungry, but I'm ready to eat it all. And I'm gonna give you some real examples of types of foods that you can eat to really help not only curb your appetite, but satisfy you with doing the least amount of damage. You're not gonna be eating pints of ice cream or sleeves of Oreos, hopefully, if you follow these steps. After that, we're gonna talk about technical climbing while clipped in. I'm gonna give you some strategies to make it a little safer, but we're also gonna discuss the realities of mountain biking and the fact that it's dangerous. And I have a really cool corner comparison that we're gonna get into on that front. After that, we go into probably the most relevant topic of Dialed Health, and it's really the reason Dialed Health exists. It's progressing your FTP and compound lifts at the same time. Is it possible? Someone wrote in and actually gave me some very specific examples of the numbers that they're currently hitting, and we're gonna discuss whether or not it is possible and what directions they should go. Then we have a really fun, lighthearted question about, you know, wearing a shirt or not wearing a shirt. And the last topic we're gonna discuss is the Dialed Health Shred. I'm actually going to pop open the email that I sent that is the welcome email to people who sign up for the Dialed Health Shred. And we're gonna read through it so you have a very clear idea on what is going on with this thing at the start of January. Now, before we jump into the episode, I gotta give a shout out to Travis Harnish for leaving me a 5-star Google review. Now, to be honest, I think this review was meant for the Apple Podcast app, but nonetheless, what it reminded me was that I need some Google reviews. I actually have a great rating on Google, but what I've noticed is that if there's a place people are gonna go and just do something weird, it's kind of there. I mean, if it's not Yelp, it's gonna be there. And I'm like, man, I need to get people going to Google, leaving a 5-star review, and just making sure we're looking just polished. And we are looking polished, but let's get even more polished. If you could please go to Google and leave me a 5-star review and just say anything positive about dialedhealth.com, that would really help me a ton. I mean, that is something I physically cannot do for myself that has a huge impact on the business. So if you are enjoying the content I'm putting out, I would ask you to do that this week. That's going to be our focus. So thank you so much for the support. What Travis wrote was, quality information brought to you in a very real life way. Love hearing about the life and business. That sounds like a podcast review to me, but you know what? It's 5 stars, it's positive, and I'll take it. All right, let's jump into the episode. This first question is from Jeff Kopp. His Instagram handle is actually his name completely backwards, and that sounds like this, Pockfej. So Pockfej, here's what he wrote. It's honestly a great question. It really sets the stage, it sets the story. I think we can all relate to this. Here's what he wrote. It's 11 p.m. I nailed my calories and macros for the day. I'm uncontrollably walking to the kitchen. The fridge opens. Snack attack is imminent. He wrote stack attack, but I think it's snack attack. My question is this, what should I eat that will do the least amount of damage? Oh, and please don't say suck on an almond. I love that answer because this is someone with experience. They said they nailed their calories and macros. They've done their job. They're tracking. They're proficient in their goals. But the reality sets in. Holy smokes, I'm a little bit hungry. Maybe I'm not satisfied. Now, this is probably someone who's done diet research and has heard like, oh, put a half teaspoon of coconut oil under your tongue or suck on an almond. Those are real answers that dietitians give that either, in my opinion, are have insane control when it comes to their own diet, and they just don't really live in reality, or they just don't actually diet themselves and experience what it's like to be hungry for a prolonged period of time, which is the reality when you're cutting. Now, I just love that question. Here's the thing. If you are going to try and do the least amount of damage, like you know you're going to eat, I've had this feeling before, the first option, I'm going to give you a lot of options, but the first thing that came to mind for me was fruit and more specifically berries. Berries are high fiber, but they're also very low calorie. If you measure 300 grams of strawberries, which is 100 calories of strawberries, dude, it's like two giant handfuls of strawberries. It's a legit amount. Now, you could top that with some low-fat whipped cream, and that is honestly something that is going to at least curb your appetite and probably stop you from reaching for the pint of Ben & Jerry's that's hopefully not in your freezer, or just doing something weird, like going to your baking supplies and eating all the chocolate chips. Yes, I've done that. I understand. You guys, I have chugged maple syrup out of the bottle. That's what kind of person is giving you this information. I've also gotten my body fat down to 7%, and I maintain it, I'd say, roughly low double digits. So I've been on both sides of it, and I really understand how desperate you can get to the point that the honey bottle is, you know, what you're going to do to accomplish that. You know, you're just going to start chugging it. You know, are you going to take a spoonful of brown sugar? Like, this is how desperate it can get. So having a stock on these types of lower calorie foods is so essential to you being consistent long term. And having a good stock on these berries is a great idea and way to start it. So you have the low calorie, the berries, hopefully they're, you know, they're good and they're sweet, and you have the whipped cream. You could also, even if you sprinkled some sugar in the raw on top of your berries, it kind of gives you an extra crunch and sweetness. And again, you know, you're adding a teaspoon or probably not even a tablespoon of this sugar, and it's really going to satisfy you, hopefully, to the point where, you know, you had a 200-300 calorie dessert, or you went over by that much, opposed to 1,000. Because we know, I mean, if you go in with that mentality and you do crack a pint of ice cream, it's all over. There's no hope. You're not going to turn back. Don't tell yourself you're going to have a bite. I mean, I have done that before. It is so hard. It's more of a tease than anything. So that would be my first step. Go for the berries. Go for the low-fat whipped cream. Maybe sprinkle a little bit of sugar on top of your berries, or even a little bit of honey or something like that. But the next option too is to have a high-fiber, high-protein cereal. The one I always keep stocked up, because I typically top my protein shakes with it and eat it kind of like a acai bowl, it's the Kashi Golean Crunch cereal, and it's the original. The original is important because it's the lowest calorie one, and it's very high volume, and it's crunchy, and it has different textures of the puffs. It's also vegan, which, and it's like high protein. So every serving, which I think a serving's pretty big of that cereal, it might be a cup, 1.75 cups, opposed to, you know, one cup of, let's just say, Fruit Loops that is just not going to satisfy you at all, really. I mean, if you ever measure a serving of cereal, it is one of the most depressing things you can measure, without a doubt. It is tiny. Like, we've all had those little mini boxes of cereal that you used to get, or you had at like camp or something like that, and that's what a real serving is. That's how small it is. And if you're like me, I would pour four of those Frosted Flake things into my bowl. Anyways, so have a high fiber, high protein cereal like the Kashi Golean Crunch, and the crunch of it, you know, measure out a serving. It really is going to slow down your appetite. If anything, it's going to fill you up. You add a little bit of honey, make it sweeter or something like that. It is going to make a difference. So that's a great option for you. Make sure you have a low calorie milk option. So you either have like a low fat milk or an almond milk with no sugar. Just newsflash, oat milk is super high calorie. It's my favorite. I put it in my coffee when I can, when I have the calories for it. But just make sure you're accountable for your milk as well, because that's a very real thing. Now, you can also have a Zevia soda. This is a stevia sweetened soda, or even like a diet soda. It's not ideal when it comes to quality. You know, there are artificials in there, but as far as keeping your weight under control, you just that like sweet hit and the bite of the carbonation, that's a zero calorie option that could honestly stop you from eating at all. I know it has for me a ton. And when I'm really desperate, man, I might put down like three ginger ales or something, like three diet ginger ales back to back, because if I'm doing that, I'm probably not drinking alcohol. I'm probably very tight on calories, but it makes a huge difference. Like, it's actually enjoyable. And especially if you get a stevia sweetened soda, the artificial, the additives are very minimal as well, which is a great thing. There are also products like Smart Sweets. This is a brand that makes gummies. And they're like, almost imagine like like a healthy Sour Patch. They're sweetened with mostly stevia. They are artificial, but they're pumped with fiber. They have like I want to say almost a full daily serving of fiber. I can't remember actually what it is off the top of my head, but it's significant. In fact, you won't even want to eat more than a pack of these, which a full pack of these is like 80 to 100 calories because the fiber is so dense and they're sweet and some of them are sour. So look into the brand Smart Sweets and I think you'll like that as an option. They have like Peachos or they have little gummy bears or Swedish Fish are actually my favorite ones, surprisingly. I just think the texture of them is really, really good. So look into that as an option. A lot of times too, like they're not super affordable, I'd say. They're, you know, more affordable than a pint of ice cream. But these are things just to have on hand. These are like a real investment. You have these to stay on top of your diet or you really risk falling off the wagon or just erasing all this hard work from that entire day or even that entire week. So from there, we have options like light popcorn. Again, what got me on the light popcorn was that most of the time, unless it's completely unbuttered, even if it's low calorie, they can be a little bit higher in fat. And, you know, a lot of us have higher carb, higher protein diets, maybe a little less fat. It can be hard to fit in your macros, but also, you know, popcorn is very satisfying. It's like airy, it's light, it can have that little buttery, little savoriness to it. So that is a great option. Now you pair popcorn with one of those sweet Zevia sodas and now you are in business, okay? That is quality right there. You might risk eating too much popcorn at that point, but even measuring a full serving of popcorn isn't depressing like measuring a thing of cereal. So Boom Chicka, Smart Pop, those are all options that you could do there. You can also go, this is a riskier route, okay? But hear me out on this. You can get a high percentage dark chocolate. And the thing about that is that it's really good, it's really satisfying, but it's not that good. Does that make sense? When it's too good, that's when you risk not stopping. Or when you have some flavor pairing that is like sweet and salty. That's why I warned you about having the sweet Stevia soda with the light popcorn, because you have sweet and savory. When you have that, there's less chance of palate fatigue. And palate fatigue is really when you have one of too much of something. Like it's just too much sweet. So you need something like salty to kind of, sorry, my mind was going to a specific example of, I think it was Man Versus Food, where he's eating this impossibly huge sundae from a diner. It's like that local legend thing. Like you eat this, you get your photo on the wall. So he's eating this sundae. And as he gets toward the end, he has so much palate fatigue because it's so sweet and soft and cold that he orders a tray of extra crispy, extra salty French fries because it's the opposite. They're hot, they're crunchy, and they're super salty. And that is what allowed him to actually finish the sundae. Even though it's more food, it's more calories, it just like revived his palate enough to even just be able to handle the extra bit of sweet. So that's what palate fatigue is. And that's the example I was thinking of. And so when you get something like a high percentage dark chocolate, it is savory, obviously it's sweet, but it's just not good enough in my experience. It's not good enough to just crush. Like you can have a little bit of that and be like, okay, you know, this is good. I've done a good job, you know, keeping up some form of discipline. And I'm only eating a third of this bar, which is like 150 calories. Like that's going to be enough. Now you get a bar that's dark chocolate, but it has caramel and salt on it or something like that, or it has toffee in it. Again, game over. But do not do that to yourself. I've tried. I've tried to get very good bars of chocolate and just eat the one serving of them, which is like two squares or a third of the bar or whatever. But when it's too good, it's just too good. You can't stop. So get something that's good, but not too good. And remember, chocolate itself has more fat than, like, it's, I'd say high percentage dark chocolate has more fat than actual sugar in it. And to give you a clear example, I looked up the Ghirardelli Intense Dark Chocolate Bar and the macros on it. And it has 11 grams of fat, but only 6 grams of added sugar. And I think the total carbs were also 11, but only 6 grams of added sugar. So that should put it in perspective. Again, you know, with your macros, this could be a tough one to fit in, but it is a very good option. And you know what? If you're gonna blow your macros, just focus on your calories at that point. And just whatever you're really craving, you know, if you have to get some modified hit of it, whether it's fat or just carbs, do it. But just make sure you keep those overall calories low. So those are kind of my options. I'll run them again. Fruit, more specifically berries, low fat whipped cream, high fiber or protein cereal like the Kashi Galene Crunch. You want a stevia sweetened soda, stevia sweetened smart sweet gummy snacks, high fiber, they'll fill you up. You have light popcorn, the Boom Chicka, Smart Pop, or you have the high percentage dark chocolate. Those are my go-tos. This next question is from Helio. His Instagram handle is at helio.az.korea. It says, hi Derek, how are you? I'm a new follower and I've been loving your profile and podcast. Thank you very much, Helio. Here's his question. He says, I've been riding an XC bike and recently switched to clip pedals. The experience has been good, but I've been falling sometimes on super technical uphills with lots of big rocks. So far, I don't have any injuries that I'm concerned about, but I'd love to know your thoughts about that. And if you could cover it in your podcast, that'd be awesome. So I think the question he's really asking is, or thing that he's saying is that I like riding clips, but it feels sketchy and a little dangerous when I'm climbing technical uphills because it's easy to fall. And the truth is that it is. However, they're probably doing you more good than bad. And I hate to say that you can't just go pedal technical uphills on flat pedals, because you absolutely can, but you have to be so much more intentional about downward pressure on the pedals as you are lifting up and over these rocks. I mean, anyone could tell you that the proper way to bunny hop is pushing into the bike and then pulling up and like using the rebound and the compression, or just the, you know, the push against the earth if you don't have any suspension to actually get you off of the ground. That's like a proper bunny hop. And it's a lot harder to do when you don't have any assistance on, you know, by being clipped in. It's the same way when you're going up a lot of these rock gardens. You kind of need to just pull up your back end. And when you aren't, I would say, as experienced, the clips are probably doing you more good than bad. Now, I will say it is sketchy if you fall over and you stay clipped in. Or even maybe, I mean, hopefully you have decent shoes, but I get even clipped in cross country shoes, you clip out, you might not get good grip and foot placement. There's a lot of like risk, but here is what you can do to minimize that. You can loosen up your clips a little bit, and you do run the risk of like pulling out prematurely, pause, hold on, kid show. Okay, I'm gonna collect myself here. You run the risk of unclipping unintentionally, which is pretty sketchy. But if you loosen up a little bit, you could be a lot more confident about clipping out when you want. And that could help eliminate some of that fear. But at the end of the day, kids show, family show, at the end of the day, we're mountain biking. And this is just a risky sport. And the only way to avoid the risk on the bike is to not do anything risky. And that's just the flat out truth of it. I mean, I wish I could promise that you wouldn't fall over, but I truly believe that for these technical climbs, the clips are gonna help you get through it probably more than they're gonna hurt you. And the risk might be a little bit higher, but again, it could just be your judgment in saying that maybe this isn't worth it right now, or maybe I'm not ready for it, or I don't know what the other option is. I wouldn't put flat pedals back on just for these specific sections. And I think it's just accepting the reality that mountain biking is dangerous. I mean, that is just the truth. In fact, I have a really good example of comparing it to practicing corners. I've talked to people about this in the past who want to get faster at corners, but they're so afraid of crashing. And that is very contradicting, because you have to find the limit if you are trying to push your own boundary. And you can work at it slower and brush up against it and not go over as often as someone who is willing to fall. Like, it's not like you are planning on crashing and finding that limit or you can't get better. That's definitely not true, but you have to start pushing up against it. In fact, one of the coolest clips I've ever seen in a mountain bike video are from a couple of the best, I'd say, cornerers in the entire world, Sam Hill and Brent Atkinson. So these guys rode for the Iron Horse Mad Cats team back in the early 2000s. And they also had Nathan Rennie on the team. Just absolute legends. I think Jared Graves was on that team. It was insane. I actually posted a photo of that team because I don't think there's really been a more legendary team or just roster of people. But there's a video clip of them just going through these switchbacks and just pushing it until they crash. These are literally the best corner or the most known cornerers in the world on the mountain bike. And they are just pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And then pretty soon you see one person slide out. The other person pushes the front and tucks the front. I think one of them high-sided, like, and they're crashing every which way, but they are finding the limit. And those are the best guys in the world. So if you want to get to that level, And again, if you want to get to a higher level than you're currently at, this is not man. I don't think you probably want to be the best corner in the entire world, but or the best climber through these rocks. But nonetheless, it's going to require you to push it a little bit and accept that risk if you really, truly want to get better. So loosen up your clips a little bit. I think that's going to help out. I encourage you to stick to your clips, and it's going to be up to your judgment call whether or not you're willing to risk it. This next question is from Jack. His Instagram handle name is @Jack_Vonk. Here's the question. He says, "Hey Derek, I'm a recent follower and big fan of your content. Not sure if you can answer questions about training, but I figure I'd ask. First of all, thank you. And yes, I will answer everyone's questions." He says, "I come from a weight training background and have been using Trainer Road for a few years now. My FTP is about 250 watts and I can do about 215 on bench. So that's 215 pounds of bench press, 130 pounds overhead press, and 295 pounds of squats for 5 reps. I lift about 3 times per week, only squats twice a week. And I do Trainer Road mid-volume plan to train for XCO races. As I progress, I wonder how realistic an expert like you thinks it is to progress on the bike and strength in the gym at that level. I feel like I have a lot of room to improve on the bike, but I don't want to smash my head into the wall with training both and improving neither. I found that is so insightful, by the way. I love this. It says, I found that when I squat 3 days a week consistently, I don't experience DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness. But toward the end of the training block, it becomes super hard mentally to turn the pedals. Even if I have a ton of rest in between sets during my lifts, and I have all day to sit around and recover. Hooray, WFH. Why don't I know what the acronym is? Okay, I'm not even gonna get into that, but incredible question. I love all of the details. The one thing I forgot to ask was his height and weight, and that would have really helped me with some specifics. And now I'm bothered, what WFH? Why didn't I like research this before? Someone tell me what that means. WFH, I can't think. Okay, I'm not even gonna try and think yet. Let's get into this real question because it's incredible. So what he says is, I don't wanna be banging my head against the wall, trying to improve both but improving neither. That right there is literally why I started Dialed Health, because I was someone who followed traditional strength training programming, but I rode my bike a lot. And I got to a point where I was like, holy smokes, I am just so exhausted from the strength training that when I go ride, I just don't want to turn the pedals. Even if I'm not sore, there's like this fatigue or there's this like heavy leg feeling that I hit. In fact, one thing I noticed when I used to lift a little bit more than I do now was that my first 30 minutes of my ride would feel really good. And I would just like hit this wall where my legs filled up with lactic acid. I just felt heavy and I felt like I was done. And so all of that frustration, years of like trial and error, has led me to figure out exactly what that minimum stimulus is for progress. This is kind of where, you know, the science of it comes in. Can you say it with me now? We all know what this is. It's 2 total body strength training sessions per week. We train legs, but at a lower volume. And the focus is on perfect form always, activation, and functionality of every exercise. And of course, so that's super compensation, the 7 effective movements. That's how I came up to that point. Like, what is the real minimum you can do in the gym and see progress? But obviously, that requires you to really let go of your max weights on certain compound lifts. Like, if you're super hung up on your squats, you're gonna have to let that go when you get to a certain level of riding. Now, what this reminds me of is bodybuilders who are kind of like always in between a cutting and bulking phase, and they just never really hit the mark on either way because their season really does require them to diet down so extremely that you can never maintain it throughout the year. I mean, a lot of these dudes can look great year round, but not like stage ready. So cutting and bulking is required. And when you cut, especially how much they cut, they're gonna lose pounds and pounds and pounds of muscle, which you can't really lose fat without losing muscle, like any muscle. You're gonna lose a little bit. It doesn't have to be much, but you're gonna lose a little bit. So they have that cutting and bulking phase, and you'll get these guys who they don't commit to the bulk because they don't, like they wanna be lean. I would say that's probably the biggest thing. They don't commit to the bulk because they want to be lean, even though a real bulk, it doesn't require you, most people, to eat, like, you don't have to get super fat. You know, you're going to put on a little bit of fat, but mostly muscle. And they also can't really get the discipline to fully commit to a cut because, again, if you've dieted, you know that it's very you know, it's difficult. It takes discipline. It takes a real commitment to it. Plus, your strength most likely isn't going to increase. I'm not going to say it's going to go down. It will if you go like on stage for bodybuilding. But most of the time, it's going to either like level out, or you're just not going to see those sick gains. Your workouts may not be as good as they are when you're in a slight surplus. So they just like get caught in this forever average body, I would say, where they look strong and they look healthy, but they don't look really big or they don't look really cut. And that's kind of where most, I'd say, people who do traditional bodybuilding workouts kind of sit at. I would say especially men, but it's really across the board. So that's what that reminded me of. And that could be like a person who is obsessed with lifting in the gym, but also their favorite sport is riding, and they can't get past trying to do both. I mean, there's a guy I follow on YouTube right now who does like powerlifting, and he does, you know, double century rides. And it is so hard to watch because I'm like, plus he's a like a professional eater. So he does these crazy eating challenges. I mean, there's just so much friction in that program. It makes me cringe. Maybe that's why I come back for more, because I'm like, how is he doing all this? I know he doesn't feel good. There is no way. So if you are, okay, let's go back to kind of like the start. So that's, I'd say in general, kind of what someone's working with. But the reality is, if you're an untrained individual, you can get beginner gains in both riding and lifting on a very linear trajectory for a while. And I can't tell you how long exactly that period's gonna be. It could be 6 months, it could be closer to a year, but there's gonna be a point where you have to start using one to train for the other. And here's exactly what I mean by that. So if you decide, you're gonna get to a point where you're gonna plateau, because the strain you're putting on your body is so much higher because of the workload that you're doing. Like, the intensity is higher. Like, you're just demanding more of your body when you're at a higher wattage. You're demanding more of your body when you do higher volume or heavier lifts in the gym. And so there's gonna be a point where you're going to plateau if you don't start using one to focus on the other. So if you start focusing, if you decide, okay, lifting is my number one priority, I want to see my numbers go up and all of my traditional compound lifts. So squat, bench, deadlift, overhead press, think like anything you would do with a barbell, really. So focusing on lifting would require you to up your volume and rest between sessions, which means your riding volume and intensity would have to drop to support your lifting. It'd be more about your recovery and keeping a general aerobic base, which would impact your lifting days and rest times between workouts. So basically at that point, you could still ride your bike, but you'd have to cut your volume and intensity because you'd be so fatigued and drained from your lifting sessions that your riding is now, it's still for enjoyment, but you're doing it for like recovery. You're doing it to keep some form of an aerobic base so that your lifting sessions are a little bit more productive. Like, when you see someone that's a really strong individual but super out of shape, like no aerobic base at all, you know, they'll do a set of squats and just be breathing for like, you know, 3 minutes, which that's just, come on, bonkers. And I've never put an insane amount of weight on my body like some of these guys have, but I mean, come on. You know, you're working for like 20, 30 seconds, and then you're gonna be just out of breath for the next like 3 to 5 minutes. Like, come on now. So having an aerobic base really does support those workouts too, because there's still this underlying cardiovascular component, I guess. And that's what would happen if you decided to focus on lifting. If you decided to focus on riding, that means your lifting volume would have to drop along with your max lifts. You would save your highest intensity and efforts for the bike and use time outside of it to work on weak points, staying healthy and recovery. So your lifting sessions go from focusing on the amount of weight you're lifting to literally just keeping activated, staying healthy, because all of that repetitive motion of cycling, we all know, you could lead to overuse injuries. You have to keep these muscles like activated and stimulated and opposing muscle groups. And then also you're using that blood flow for the recovery, all of the movement and mobility work, which really supports all of the, I'd say, bad things you get from a higher volume riding schedule. So you can see that you just are at one point, one is going to have to be the real goal, and you're gonna have to train for that. Like, when you look at CrossFit, does it make you generally fit and prepared for the, you know, just to be ready for life? Sure it does, but you're literally just training for CrossFit. Like, you, like, there's a point when you're at a certain level of cycling where CrossFit is not gonna help anymore, like, period. because you're now doing CrossFit workouts to get better at CrossFit workouts. And there's a point where you need to say, okay, I'm doing workouts to get better at cycling. And that's how I create my programs. So you can do it in a way that you're still functionally fit and healthy for life. And that is still a huge priority, because most of us are not professional cyclists, but even if you are, you still have to be a functioning human. And because you can be a functioning human and still be a cyclist, even at a pro level, I would choose that. So that is kind of the reality of it. I mean, if you guys look at me, for example, even though lifting is, I would say it's my next favorite thing to do, like strength training, exercise, I just love movement. I love being active and physical. It's my next favorite thing besides riding as just an activity. But I've devoted myself in the gym to things that I do really enjoy. I love the process, but I will never really do anything at the sacrifice of a ride. Now, sometimes I get in these weird positions where I have to film something, or there is this like certain part of my job that requires me to do something that hinders my riding, but that is honestly my job. But I know a lot of times that, holy smokes, if I had this huge ride tomorrow, I need to maybe, you know, back off my intensity a little bit on the goblet squats I'm going to do today. And if you guys really look at what I do, there's a lot of complexity. There's a lot of total body. I still am getting stronger, but it's more muscular endurance opposed to just max lifts, like max strength. I don't want to call myself out here, but I'm not like a very super strong guy. Like super strong to me is a real power lifter, and I'm just not that guy. You know, pound for pound, my ability to brace, my core, just general functionality at my weight and my height, it's very good, but I'm not like the strongest dude you're ever gonna meet. I'm just not. I can't be. I can't ride at the level that I do and have that form of strength. And if anyone tells you different, they're not good at either of them. I promise you that. I promise you, there is no one out there that's at a high level of either that is like, oh yeah, you could do both. Because they just know that it's the training, the day in, the day out of what you have to do to get at that level that is going to prevent you from going the other side of it. So you're either going to be the jack of all trades and the master of none, or you're going to be the master of one. And everything else is going to go in to support that. That is the truth. Again, it's linear, and you have beginner gains and this like steady progress in both to a point, and then you got to prioritize one. So Jack, I would very much encourage you to focus on your riding, because right now you know that's where more of your interest lies, and you know, see how it goes from there. You can still lift and you can still focus on your form, but you're going to have to let your max weights go and just focus on the on-bike performance and how you feel in general day-to-day life, and just get those numbers that you have stuck in your head of how strong you are, just get them out, because they're going to change, but it's for the overall goal and it's just a pivot. And I think you're going to be even more satisfied when you feel like you're an expert in one area opposed to, you know, pretty good but not great at both. This next question is from my man, Ricardo, over in Italy, at FlynnRider01. He says, would you rather ride shirtless or strength train shirtless? I think we all know the answer to that. I would rather strength train shirtless. I really love it. When I opened my studio and I knew I could just flaunt around in a pair of shorts and shoes and that's it, I was stoked. In fact, I worked out barefoot for a long time, but I do actually prefer training with shoes on. And if I'm gonna be on and off the ground a lot, I typically like a shirt just because it feels more comfortable. Like I feel kind of gross rolling around on the ground when I'm sweaty with no shirt a little bit. So I like to wear a shirt from time to time. I wear a shirt for all of my website videos just to add a little layer of professionalism. I feel like that's the least I can do. Really, the goal is to not be distracting. Like the goal is to be focused on the product and it's not me. But on Instagram, you got to get people's attention. If I have to, you know, minimize my clothing to do that, you know, whatever it takes. I'm just trying to put some shoes on my baby boys. whatever it takes, man. So would you rather riding shirtless? Okay, it has actually tempted me in the past because simply of tan lines. Now I've embraced tan lines. It's kind of a badge of honor in cycling, but it's really just not even functional. I mean, if you were to go out and road ride shirtless, which there's a guy around my town that does, it just, where do you put your stuff? Like I would never do it because of that. You have to wear a bib, like yada yada. This guy wears cycling shorts, goes shirtless, and I gotta say, man, it's a lose-lose situation. Let me tell you why. If you have some body fat, think about the position you're in. it's not really a flattering position for anybody. And I mean, you could be in amazing healthy shape and you get into that tuck position and there's going to be some stuff folding over your shorts. There's no way around that. So you're putting yourself in an unflattering position, or if you are just shredded, like a full on, you are just diced statue of David dude, you're just going to look like a douchebag. So it's a lose-lose situation. It's either unflattering or douchebag, and those are your options. And I don't want to call out this guy. Anyways, he is definitely fitting one of those categories, and it's just not a good look. So yeah, I think that riding shirtless is not a good idea. Unless, okay, here's my one exception here. Mountain biking, I've done this. Mountain biking where you jump in the water. So my canyon that I ride in locally a lot, perfect example. If you start at the top, you're going to end with like a 15, 20 minute climb. In the summer, at the bottom, you can jump in the river and you cool off and you have a climb to the top still. It's hot. It could be like 90 degrees. You're in the sun. I have done it where I jump in the water and then I just tie my jersey around my bars. I climb out shirtless. It's in the sun. It feels incredible. That is the one exception I'll make for riding shirtless. And that's it. That's it. Do I sound like terrible even just saying it like it is? It's just, it's not a good look. So yeah, never riding shirtless unless those very, very minor mountain biking situations. We are shifting gears into all things Dialed Health Shred. I'm going to actually read you the email that you'll get upon signing up that really gives you a breakdown of what to expect come January. So if you go to dialedhealth.com, you'll see a toolbar across the top. It says 2021 Dialed Health Shred 30-day fat loss challenge. You can click on learn more and then follow the instructions from there. The only requirement is that you're a member of dialedhealth.com. Once you are, there's no additional cost. And the goal of this program is to, not a program, it's really the challenge, is to give people extra support and an extra push at their body fat goals to start out the new year. I know how it is after the holidays. I felt disgusting come January 1st last year. I really did. We hosted a New Year's party. It was so fun. And I just remember waking up and it was, I'm that guy. I'm like, I never want to drink again. I never want to eat dessert again. I just feel so gross. And it's just time to really kickstart your system. And it's just, there's the least amount of friction in January. Honestly, I hate to be so cliche with the timing, but it's such a dead month. There's like almost no events. Almost everyone is on the same gear of like either a dry January or some form of dieting or some form of a health kick. There's all these New Year goals. So it really is like perfect timing to do it. And that's why we're doing it in January. Now I'm going to grab a little sip of water, some elevator music for you. Almost choked. And we can start reading this. So your email will say, welcome to the 2021 Dialed Health Shred. And at the top, it has a quote to get you fired up. It says, to be something you've never been before, you have to do something you've never done before. You've probably heard it, but it is so clear and true. Oh my gosh, I love that quote. To be something you've never been before, you have to do something you've never done before. That is as real as it gets. Below that, it says, this shred challenge is designed to give the Dialed fam extra support to lose body fat in a healthy, sustainable, and educational way. Below that, we have a photo of myself. Honestly, probably the best I've ever looked, in my opinion. Just fit, healthy, lean. I love it. The lighting was great. I had a sick pump. Everything that you want. I'm holding a heavy barbell, so it's impossible not to flex. It's just everything you want in a photo. I'm really proud of that one. So I had to throw it in there. And then below that, it says, yes, do I sound like a douchebag talking that way? I'm sorry. It's like, it takes a lot of work. And when you see it, you get proud of it. And I want you to have that feeling as well. It's another reason we're doing this. And it's funny, but although aesthetics are a weird byproduct of training and diet and high performance, all this stuff, I think when you go through the process, you have an appreciation for it, where you're just personally proud of whatever you do. And it's really not about like, I want to look this way for other people to look at me. It's like, that's who I feel like. And I want to know what that person is. I want to meet that person. You know, I want to meet that version of myself. And anyways, so starting date, January 4th, ending date, February 2nd, 30 days. And we are going from a 90-day shred, which we did this year, to a 30-day shred. Now, the reason we did that is really just for like a more obvious attainable finish line for people. And my goal of the shred is to actually give you really a good send off so that if you want to continue dieting and continuing on the track, maybe you didn't reach your final goal in that 30 days. I think that's very likely that most people won't. Only because it's only 30 days. And it depends how far you want to go with it. But I want to make sure that you use that 30 days to really dig deep and learn the real principles behind maintaining your weight for life. And here's how we do that. So the challenge is, it's focused very much on the habits, by the way, just so you know. Instead of the outcome, we are focused on nailing the habits that will get you what you want. And that makes you qualified to win. So the challenge is food tracking every single day using MyFitnessPal app. I'm using MyFitnessPal app because I know how to use it. I'll be able to better support you guys if you also use it, just because there are some other apps out there that I've had people ask me questions about how to use it. Oh, excuse my computer there. And I can't really give them a clear answer because I don't know. So food tracking every single day using MyFitnessPal. Next one, 5 workouts per week. This includes riding and strength training. So minimum of 2 days of strength training through your workouts at dialedhealth.com. And then you'll have to do 3 days of riding or 1 day of recovery and mobility. Actually, 1 day of recovery session, 1 recovery session is required per week. And that's the next thing that we're gonna focus on. So my goal for you, besides tracking your food, it's to just nail a consistent and slightly increased workout schedule for some people. You know, 5 workouts a week, we're talking at the minimum 2 rides, 1 mobility recovery, and 2 strength workouts. The last requirement is a water requirement. It is 100 ounces of water for females, 128 ounces of water for males. And that's kind of generalized based on, you know, general body sizes, but you're looking men at 1 gallon of water per day. It is legit. It makes you feel great. I would recommend starting by getting that water in before your coffee. So not all of it, obviously, but you know, 12 to 24 ounces. I usually drink like 24 to 32 ounces of water before my coffee. I just have a big mason jar and I've learned to chug it. It doesn't even require discipline at this point because I wake up and crave water, and I know you can get there as well. It's just the perfect kickstart before you get that natural diuretic of the coffee in your day. So we have a prize for both the male and the female winner. I honestly have not locked down exactly the criteria for how to win, and I know that you want to know that, but most likely it's going to be an overall transformation like package that I'm going to be judging, because it's going to come down to how you execute the actual requirements of the program and your results. And because like your results are really going to keep you honest on what you executed. And it depends on where you come from and where you're going. Like it can be so tough to just say who loses the most weight, who loses the biggest percentage of body fat, because if you're already kind of lean to begin with, you know, you could be someone who is, you know, losing a little bit of fat, but adds all these workouts and just nails these new healthy habits. And that could be as much of a qualification for a winner as someone who just loses a ton of fat that maybe doesn't nail the actual habits as well. So there's just so many like variables to consider that I'm going to nail that down with more clarity for you. We still aren't going to start for another month, and I'll make sure I include that in the next email that gets sent out so you have like a frame of reference of what to go for, because these prizes are legit. Now, both male and female winner will be winning a $250 Mike Spikes gift card to the online store, a specialized product bundle. This is tires, bottles, and more. 1 month of Kyoku, the personalized recovery shake that I use. A P&G care package that includes electrolytes, gels, and more, and 1 box of Kate's Food Bars Variety Pack. So those are the bars of choice I eat while out on the bike. So amazing support. Huge thank you also. Just, I really got to call out Mike's Bike for that one. Their online store, if you need to buy anything bike related, is, I'd say, one of the easiest stores to use, and they have a huge variety of product. And so yeah, I'm just excited for you guys to have access to that. And $250, come on now. We can buy some sick stuff with that. Now, I want to give you a good testimonial from the winner of the 2020 challenge, Greg Young. You'll get a picture of his before and after, but it is super sick. And this is actually what he wrote. So I'm just going to read it for word for word. This was from an Instagram post last year. Earlier this year, holy smokes. It says, embarrassing but necessary. I am and always have been a beer guy. A few beers a day, every day for 10 years. Not exaggerating. I let it get out of hand and I began to pay for it. I got up to 250 pounds. I thought I was fine and could still hang, but looking back, I felt like shit. Sorry, kids show. Earmuffs. March 2019, I got a mountain bike and started riding. I drank like I always did. I just thought since I was riding, that made it fine. Partially it helped and I began to lose weight, but I still felt the drinking hindered me. Like with brewing, I decided I wanted to go all in and give my big goals the best chance possible for success. So he does, he's entered and won local brewery championships. So this guy is all about beer. He gets it, he makes it, he's great at it. He just gets beer. He's in the beer life. January 2020, I weighed 225 pounds. I followed Dialed Health's recommendations and began tracking my food on MyFitnessPal and eating healthier. February 2020, I weighed 218 pounds. I signed up for Dialed Health online program and started focusing on my strength and mobility. This is also when I decided to stop drinking. Not slow down, stop completely. March 2020, I weighed 206 pounds. I again followed Dialed Health and signed up for the Trainer Road program and got an indoor trainer to build my base and specialty for enduro racing. April 2020, I weighed 194 pounds. That's 31 pounds since the beginning of the year, and I'm not stopping here. I take things to excess. Everything I do, I want to be the best. For me, that means focusing solely on the one thing and removing whatever hinders. I still love beer, but I realize to achieve my goals, I need to cut it out and focus on becoming the best me. Thanks, Dialed Health, for all the motivation, help, and advice. Now, I did a podcast with him, and I'm going to send you in the email a link to that podcast so you can go check it out. And then I got to say, Greg absolutely crushed it. He was someone who looked at it from the most realistic and I would say effective lens. He knew that he loves beer. He always loves beer. And I know he drinks beer now, but he knew that for the time being, as a temporary change, he was going to stop drinking because it was causing too much friction for him to have his goals achieved in this area. Now, he knew he could bring it back. And, you know, like, it's just that people are so afraid to change, even if it's temporary and they know it's temporary, that it prevents them from doing it in the first place. And I think that was really the biggest thing. Like, he listened and he was willing to make the changes, whether it was tracking his food, eating a little healthier, cutting out the beer, adding the strength training, and then even getting a smart trainer and doing Trainer Road like I suggested. I mean, this is like every client I've ever had that's had success. They don't overthink it. They don't give me lip service. They don't try and, you know, have all these questions that sometimes people just buy time with questions and they act confused, even though they're not, just to have some excuse as to why they're not executing what they know they should be. And the people that have had success with me are people that are like, what should I do tomorrow? You know, this is like when I'm working with people in person, I'm like, do this cardio, and they do it. And then they come back in and then they say it for the next one. They don't say, can you write me this long program and blah, 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 and a full meal plan and this. They're just like, what do I eat now? What do I do? When I say it, they just do it one piece at a time, one chunk here, one chunk there. They implement it until they stick. It sticks and they get results. And then they slowly add to it. Just like Greg did. Every single month he had results and he just added a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And now I know this challenge could be a big jump for you. You're adding potentially a couple things, but I am going to follow up with an email before the challenge starts, like 10 days before. I think it's December 26th. What does it say? I actually have a note on the email I send. It says, email will be sent December 26th with detailed instructions, including how to take before photos, tape measurements, and food tracking tips/strategies. So you'll at least have some time to kind of mess with it before you start. And that's why I wanted to start it into the new year a little bit, so you can kind of like play with it a little bit. I didn't want you to just cold turkey day one, try and figure it out. Hopefully from that email, you'll start like, you know, pick a program. You'll take your measurements. You'll be ready to really start on January 4th. And then it says in the email, 2021 requirements, you must be active Dialed Health member. Oh, and you must provide before and after photos. If you want a chance to win, I need photos, you guys. I have to be able to post your results. And so you don't have to, they don't have to be super revealing. You don't have to be borderline naked in these things. I mean, the least amount of clothing usually makes the most impact. And you want to consider that for yourself and for inspiring other people. You know, I would never want someone to feel uncomfortable, but you got to remember that these types of before and after transformations are what inspire other people to do it. And I just recommend not holding that back, man. You could really change someone's life simply because you're willing to put yourself out there. So that's why it's a requirement for me, because, you know, we have to show the results of this thing. And that's how you do it. And then it says the 2021 Dialed Health Shred has been condensed to 30 days, but would include strategies to help you continue or maintain your results. Be sure to have a home scale to measure your weight daily. Ooh, that's going to be another thing. You got to weigh every single day. Now, when people say, okay, I'm grabbing another sip. When people say, I don't weigh every day because it's not an accurate reflection of my weight, that is the biggest BS I have ever heard in my entire life. Now, does your weight fluctuate? Yes, it absolutely fluctuates. But if you weigh every single day, when your weight fluctuates, I'm 99% of the time, you are going to be able to understand why. Like, you're going to say, oh yeah, I ate a little out of, you know, I wasn't in a deficit yesterday. I ate at maintenance. I ate more than maintenance. Or maybe yesterday, you know, I ate something that was super salty and I'm just retaining water. Like, really the only thing for women is, you know, their like menstrual cycle. Like, that is going to do a lot. Obviously there are other things that could put on weight outside of what you are eating and how you're training. You know, you could retain water, you could have more blood plasma, whatever, from high volume training. But if your weight is trending one way or the other, it's not by chance. That's all I want to say. You got to track your weight every single day. It is a great tool to keep you just on track. Because yeah, one day where it's like partially up a little bit, then I mean, you might be able to like take it with a grain of salt. 2 days, 3 days, you just got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. And that's why you got to have a scale to measure every single day. So that's the last requirement, and that is the Dialed Health Shred. I really hope that you'll be a part of it if you are looking at doing a strong push toward weight loss in the new year, because I really believe it's going to help a lot. So anyways, Dialed fam, thank you so much. Let's close this podcast out. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dialed Health Podcast. If you're enjoying the content, please do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on Google and just write anything positive. It doesn't even really have to make sense. As we saw before, it was more so for the podcast, but nonetheless, it's got to be positive and it's got to be 5 stars. That helps me out a ton and does something for the business that I actually can't do myself. So I really appreciate you doing that. If you have a question that you'd like me to answer in depth, you can go to the website and use the contact form, or you can just email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dialedhealth.com. I'll get your question and we can include it on the podcast. You can also shoot me a DM at Dialed Health on Instagram and just let me know that you want me to discuss it on the podcast, and I could save it for next week's episode. Thank you so much for being a part of just the success of Dialed Health this year. The fact that we hit our end of the year goals before Thanksgiving is insane. We're still growing. There's new opportunities coming up. And I think that the Dialed Health Shred is going to be a great way to start the year strong, even on the business back end. People are fired up and I want to make sure you have that support. So thank you seriously for the support. I'm so excited to bring in the new year. And you know, I'm excited to bring in these new babies with a healthy business. I mean, come on now. We've been fighting all year to get this business healthy through the pivot of the pandemic pivot, to say it nicely. And you guys listening and supporting, reposting on Instagram, becoming members at dialedhealth.com, really, I mean, being a member on the dialedhealth.com is the ultimate level of support that you can do for me. And obviously the goal is to support you in your fitness journey. But I want you to know that if you are a part of the Dialed fam, you are literally giving me like the sickest life ever. And I'm not going to say it's like cozy right now, you know, like we just broke that point where we're paying all of our bills, and I do everything I can on a daily basis to make sure I'm providing you the most valuable product. In fact, where my head's at right now is way more out of survival mode and like on a crazy thrive mode as far as really, really scaling and ramping this thing up. So yeah, man, it's all being put to good use, and I hope you know that. So thanks for everything. I hope you guys have an incredible week. And that being said, start moving forward. I will see you next Wednesday.